live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 140 of the Field to the Real podcast. Trucking right along. I want to say this at the beginning of this podcast. Because I think when we first started, right? When we first started, I wasn't necessarily, what's the word? I was grateful. I was grateful for everybody who listened. Right. But I was looking at the numbers and I was like, man, I wish we had so much more and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
And so I think that in that, there's a little bit of like, entitlement, and you know what I'm saying, because nobody has to listen to this podcast,
right? Correct.
And you know, after a few months, our numbers had kind of gone down a little bit, and that's natural when you first like debut a show. Like, you know, you get
everybody want to know, yeah,
right? People want to know what it is, what's going on with it, and then the numbers are dwindled down. And so as the numbers, at least our audio streaming numbers, have started to go back up, I've become way more thankful of the people who have decided, like, I'm going to listen to this podcast on a weekly basis. Yeah, and so I know y'all. I say it at the end of every show, but I truly want to thank you guys for tuning in.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And listening to our podcast. Our podcast is so much bigger than just what's going on in sports.
Oh, for sure.
we are... focus on the impact that sports have on people's lives.
Absolutely.
And so thank you guys so much. We truly appreciate you guys. I know I say that all the time, but I hope that you understand the sincerity in us saying, like, we truly appreciate you guys taking the time out and spending the hour with us once a week.
Yeah. It's humbling.
Yeah.
It's humbling because when we started it, you got to think, when we started this, we had and we still do have that same mission, right? It wasn't to be popular with people all over the internet and reach that we could have with this. That wasn't our point. Our point was, because of the project, we wanted to be able to get on these campuses and bring this forth so that people could hear and learn and hear some things, some positivity, right?
Right.
That was our goal. To have these kids at these colleges hear something that might touch them, or these high schoolers might hear something that touches them. That was the point in the beginning. And so it's humbling that there are people who just want to hear what we have to say.
Right. Yeah. I love what I'm saying, when people shoot me text messages or they respond on social media somewhere, or they respond on YouTube. Just about like what they liked about the show, or something that they thought we could do better. Like, I truly appreciate that.
Yeah, I gotta do better. I don't look at any of that because that's just my stance on things. It's just and whether it was positive or negative, that's not the issue. It's just I don't ever look at that because I know you can get caught up. You know what I mean? Like, but I gotta do better because. If people are saying things like what you just said, just kind of caught me, like what we could do better. That's important to watch or hear. And honestly, people's feedback is important, or them interacting with us is important. Right. I want it. I just think it's kind of like what we talked about before we started. When you know you got somebody else that'll do it, you just don't.
Yeah.
So I don't, because I know you will. And I need to do better and for myself to see.
Well, you know, it took me a while to just post one thing.
You've been doing so good. Shout out to Jared, y'all. He's been on it. I'll be looking for it too. I've about 8 o'clock, I'll be like, let's see. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it'll be something. I'll be like, okay, post yes. it.
Thank yeah. you for the accountability.
Sure.
Yeah, because I certainly yeah. needed that.
No problem. So yeah, thank you for stopping to say that to yeah. our feel good family.
Feel good family.
Yes.
Well, let's jump into this Who's Really Right, though, because this is yeah. one, when we were meeting, we almost yeah. Got into an argument about.
It ain't been one of these in a minute.
Right. This is what we are truly on opposite sides of.
Oh, for sure.
And it's funny, given the nature of it, one would think that you would be on the side that I'm on, and I would be on the side that you're on.
Yeah, because you're right. You're yeah. right. Yes. Yeah.
But without further ado, this week's Who's Really Right is Draymond Green tweeted about the fact that they had to fly in the same day that they played because there was an issue in the plans and it caused a delay. And so people were giving him grief in the comment section. And so our Who's Really Right is Draymond being a baby or does he have a legitimate right to be upset?
Yeah.
Now, Steph, you gave me this context. Give them a little bit of context to why your position is the way that it is.
Absolutely. So the CBA, collective bargaining agreement mm-hmm. for the NBA, states that they are not to travel on the day that they play. They are supposed to get in town at least a day, 24 hours before, or at least a day before, in order to have time for meetings and practice and all of the things that they do. But, and that's for player safety, that's for player, it's a bunch of reasons why they chose to do it and make that policy. So my stance on this is he's not being a baby. He's saying, I get out here and I put my physical health on the line to play a sport, to entertain other people, right? I mean, it's a grueling schedule for basketball because they play a lot of games.
82.
80, and so it's, I feel like he had the right to say, this was not cool. And it wasn't like, if you read his tweet, I wish I had pulled it up. He wasn't like whining in the sense of saying, man, he just said, man, we had to fly in and we had to play on the same day. It was almost like he was just kind of thinking out loud, right? I don't mm-hmm. think he was meaning it to be whiny, but he had the right to whine if he wanted to, because there's a policy in place that states mm-hmm. that they don't have to play, that they should not be playing on the same day that they travel. I don't think that makes him a baby or a whiner. I do not. I think he was just stating the fact that they had to fly in on the same day that they played. And I don't feel like he was wrong in making the statement and pointing out the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
So the tweet was, fly in the day of the game after playing a game the night before mm-hmm. and play a game. Wow.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you why Draymond Green is being a baby.
Okay.
Now, this was a mistake, right?
Well, it was the plane was the issue. The plane was the issue. That's why right. they didn't fly out.
Yeah, so the plane was the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't something that has happened or happens frequently. Right. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard of a story where this has happened. And if it has, it's because nobody complains about it, because it's not something that happens often.
Often. Correct.
Now, the frame that I'm looking from this, or the lens that I'm looking from this at, is the fact that the WNBA players have frequently had to fly on the same day that they played the games, right?
Okay.
Now, We can talk about the fact that this is what they've collectively bargained.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate part about the WNBA is they don't have the same amount of leverage that the NBA has. And so some of the stuff that gets collectively bargained for the WNBA isn't things within their control.
Right.
So that's the lens I'm looking at this from. Draymond Green, this is probably the only game this year that that would happen. The expectation can't be, well, let's move the schedule around so that you don't have to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is something that you just have to adapt to because it's a one-time thing. Now, totally understand that if the NBA continues and that if this happens like frequently, totally understand you coming out saying, listen, we ain't standing for this. This is just collectively bargaining.
Right.
But this happening one time and you complaining about it, sir, stop being a baby.
Did he complain though?
Yeah.
That was a complaint to you?
It was a passive aggressive, sarcastic complaint. Wow.
It was passive. I will agree it was passive aggressive and it was sarcastic, but I still don't look at it like he was like, okay. So here, let me back up and say this. We all know Draymond Green. He don't have no problem with speaking his mind to anybody about anything.
Right.
So I feel like he is not, if it were really an issue, it would have been more than the word, wow.
Yeah.
I think it was just literally him stating what was happening and just, it was almost like how you were thinking in your head. Like somebody right. might've thought, somebody else on that plane from the Warriors that had to fly in on the same day probably was having the same thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. We got to play a game. Like, wow, we got to play a game. And we just, you know, blah, blah, blah.
They didn't tweet it.
But I'm saying, I feel like that was just what his mind was thinking. I don't think it was a complaint. I don't know. Even if it was, he got the right. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, so no, he certainly does have the right, right? He has the right to voice that. And I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I have the right to look at you and say that you're acting like a baby for tweeting it. Because the thing is, like, I could think that. I used to think to myself, like, you know, and I guess now just me verbalizing it makes it a complaint. And we'll actually dig into this a little later. But I used to think to myself, playing at a historically Black college or university, we are on this bus traveling to Florida. Why are we not flying?
Right.
And so we didn't have social media the way that we have it now back then. I think we only had Facebook, and that was like my junior year.
Yeah.
So it's not that I could have just gone to, you know what I'm saying, social media to voice my concerns about this.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, it's not the fact that you're upset about it or you feel like this is some type of injustice. Like when you verbalize it and complain about it, right? Even if it's collectively bargained, I feel like what you've unknowingly done is a slap in the face to the WNBA players who have to deal with this all the time. Unintentionally, unknowingly,
that's the part. It's not intentional. It's right. It's not like he feels entitled to be above them. That's not what this.
Yeah, no. That's what like, I say. It's unintentional.
And so the tweets, the people who were responding to him, I went and looked at some of the responses.
Oh, and I was gonna pull those up too.
And so some of the things were just regular, ordinary people saying, "Oh, poor Draymond, you get paid all this money," you know. And that was where I think I took I bristled for him with some of those comments because that's not fair.
So, some of these are a little bit ridiculous, but this one is hilarious.
Uh-oh.
This dude responds.
Uh-oh.
And looking at the profile picture, this is a white man.
Oh, God.
Wow. I got to go to work today, too, for far less money. Pound sand, Draymond. P.S. You will be exposed in the playoffs as the average player you are.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah. That was more of a troll than an actual, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you really just wanted to say that last part. Yeah.
Now the one after that, and I won't even repeat this one because I feel like, you know what I'm saying? This one was a little bit far. You know what I'm saying? Like, so some of those comments, like, yeah, nah, we not doing that.
And he responded to some of those people too. Oh, yeah. He took the time to respond to some of them.
He had time today. Your problems are your problems. My problems are the one thing they have in common. They are problems. It's all relative, my man. And I love that response too.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Relative. Like, don't put your, that was my whole point. Like, don't put, I'm sorry that you got, that this is the hand you were dealt and you don't make, you don't have this gift or talent that I have that allows me to make this money. I'm not, you got one, you just might not be using it because you could be doing, anyway, I won't go there. But I'm saying, like, he didn't get dirty, nasty with anybody in his responses, but I feel like they just ran with it, like, just ran with something that he said just randomly, just, I think, mind jumping, and I don't think he was whining.
Yeah. So, I didn't finish his response. The end, the last sentence of his response was, however, maybe I can help you out for Christmas.
See?
Now, look, so... To go back to the beginning, I'm looking at this from the lens of WNBA players.
I understand.
We've talked.
The equality is not there.
Right.
The equity is not
there. The equity is not there.
The equity is not there. We know that.
And so in looking at it from that lens, and you look at, you know, and I get it, problems are problems, right? But like, To go on a public platform and complain about it is the thing, right?
And maybe this would be a jump off point, though, to have those conversations. Maybe somebody from the WNBA should have responded, right? And be like, no, Draymond, boo-boo, we need you to do, feel this way, imagine how we feel. And that could have been a whole jump off point to start a conversation to figure out how they make that different for them. You know what I mean? Like,
we dug into a little bit of the responses from some of the WNBA players, and it would take the right WNBA player to respond to this correctly, because some of their responses are a little disrespectful over the top. They look like some of the responses from some of these people under
regular
Draymond Green's tweets.
Like
I said, I'm looking at it from that lens. And so from that lens, like, all right, you are being a baby. But I do agree, like, it's all relative. Like, don't minimize my problems because you're like, I'm a millionaire.
Right.
You know?
Just because I got money doesn't make problems go away. Like, they don't, right.
Right, because the next person could look at you and say, I'm homeless. Like, what you complaining about? You got somewhere to lay your head.
Right.
So it's all relative.
It is.
I agree with that part, but he being a baby.
Oh. Well, y'all let us know what you think. Who's really right?
Who's really right?
Like he said, we was like, So definitely on different sides of this one, because I'm definitely, he's not being a baby. He has an expectation. I guess as a coach, this is where my head is. He has an expectation of what his employer is going to do because they said this is what they were going to do.
Right.
And when that doesn't happen, he just, again, I feel like just spoke what was in his head. Like, wow. Like, you know, it wasn't a complaint. He ain't being a baby, in my opinion. That's my opinion on it. And of course, Jared's on the other side of this.
I am on the other side of that. And I don't necessarily have a problem with him feeling the way he feels about it. But once you go to social media with your gripe, then I think that's what makes it like you're being a baby.
Okay.
Y'all let us know who's really right.
Yeah.
All right, we in topics now. And this topic number one is long overdue. Long overdue. And I think in the past I've said something to the effect of, I never want to see someone lose their job.
Correct. You have many times.
I lied. Because when I heard that Urban Meyer was out in Jacksonville, I asked the same question that you put right here. What took so long?
No, for real. Like, yeah. And that's absolutely not our, not our thing is about people losing their jobs. So yeah. No. But when you're not qualified for the job, you shouldn't just have it just because you were given right. a job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think just some of the things that he's done, you know, and I try not to make every situation.
I knew you were going to go, because that's in my head.
A racial thing.
I know.
I don't think coach of color gets this much leeway as he's got.
Absolutely. The first thing with the recording of you inappropriately doing whatever you was doing with that.
That wasn't the first thing. The first thing was hiring the coach, the strength and conditioning coach from Iowa. You remember we had the story talking about Iowa and the strength and conditioning coach making some racial comments to some of the black players?
Oh.
And he got fired. You remember Kirk Ferentz, I think that's his name, the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You remember we were talking about, the conversation we had was like, I felt like he should be fired, which is crazy. And you said that, you know, you felt like he deserved some grace in that instance.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't him.
It was
he hired strength. The guy. It was his assistant.
Right. And you don't control other people's thoughts or, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his guy. And I felt like he at least had an inkling that some of this was going on and that he should be fired because of that.
Yeah.
So he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
After that came out, Urban Meyer
hired him.
Decided to hire him.
Okay.
And that was the first thing where I was like, the caucasity.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, God.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, this is a clear cut. So if that's the beginning, and then we could just keep talking about all of the things that he's done, all of these infractions, all of these unheard of crazy things that he's done, just repeatedly, just continue. Mm-hmm. That's white privilege.
Oh yeah,
at its finest.
For sure.
And again, we don't try to make everything about race, but that is a blaring white privilege thing, because like you just were saying, there's no way a coach of color would have made it. He would have got that hiring, because that would have been you coach, you, that's who you want. We don't understand it, but okay. But the moment you did what you did with that girl,
you've been gone.
Bye-bye. We're going to see you later, sir. So the fact that you got to continue and then abuse people, because that's what that was.
Yeah.
Verbally and then physically.
And physically. You kicked your kicker?
Excuse me, sir? What are we doing?
He kicked the right one.
He showed it. You noticed it was the kicker. Uh-huh. You noticed it was the kicker.
One of them defensive linemen.
Listen. Anybody. Skill player. It don't matter. Yeah. Watch what happens. Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not. It makes me think back to the fact that there are just some college coaches who just do not need to try to make it across that threshold. They just don't.
Yeah.
They don't have the, And here's my thing. If these are the things you were doing there.
Mm-hmm.
At the college level, even.
Yeah.
Then there's a problem there, too. Because the story just came out this week. Who was that? I can't think of who the coach was.
What did he do?
I'll have to find it. It was a story. I think he was verbally abusive to the players.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was now, though. Dang it. It might come back to me. But either way, it definitely was something to pay attention to. Sorry, y'all. My dog over here moving around. Like, don't tear down me. Green screen, sir. Thank you. So, but yeah, I can't remember who it was right now. But either way, this is a problem. And I think it needs to be addressed across the board, that you feel like this is okay. Yeah. This type of behavior, this type of abusive behavior is not okay. Oh my gosh, who was it? Because whoever this was, it might not have been football. It'll come to me. I can't remember. Okay. It was, but when I saw the story and the players were coming forward and saying, yeah, this happened, or I watched this happen, or I witnessed this, I was like, whoa.
I vaguely remember hearing something about that this week.
Yeah, somebody. I'm not sure. It was somebody big too. It's a big name person, whoever it is. They were just being rude and ugly. Oh, I know who it was. It was Dallas Mavericks. What's his name?
Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle.
Oh, did not know that.
Okay. Yes, Rick Carlisle. Pretty much. Tricky, your boy Luca has never liked him.
Okay.
Because of the way he treated other people.
Yeah.
The way he Luca became really close with this guy, and I'm sorry, y'all, we all lost. he became close with this guy, one of the players when he first got there, that they had the same position. Oh, we're gonna have to do this story. I'm not even gonna talk about it anymore. We're gonna talk about this next week.
Okay.
Because it was big. Like, I read the entire article. Like, okay, some of the staff, all of these people were coming out about how he was treated. And I said, see, this is a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll jump into that next week. Because I got to read that article.
I'm
interested in that.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly. It was ugly. But the point being, the same thing, like, that you can't just treat people any kind of way, and people are, listen, Marvin Jones was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know who you think you're talking to. See, you notice he didn't kick him, though.
No, he did not.
It would have been one of them PJ Carlissimo Sprewell. You would have got Sprewelled up on this. Please believe it.
that made me think about Cedric the Entertainer. So like that Latrell Sprewell type of comedy. Choked it.
Don't play. Let's go.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
But yeah. So this is I'm glad that they've rectified, because Khan was really standing his ground, like, no, he's our guy, blah blah blah. So I'm glad it finally, like, he made it where you didn't have any choice, I think, honestly. Yeah.
So, good riddance.
Yeah. I don't want to see you until you go get some help.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So you go get some counseling, you need some
types of help.
Cultural sensitivity training, some counseling, some all of those things, so that before you go and destroy somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you go back to the college ranks, you could easily destroy somebody at that level. Right. So we don't want that. Speaks volumes of what might have happened with so many of the Ohio State players that came out into the NFL, or were supposed to be really good at the NFL level, who were under you. Like, this makes you think, scratch your head about a lot of stuff. Florida,
because
Tim Tebow had the Lord on his side. That's why you didn't get to him, but he was your guy. So
he did coach Aaron Hernandez.
Next topic.
And so Steph says that he regrets talking junk about hitting 16 threes. He said it put too much pressure on him to do it at home.
Yeah. But so he did it. It wasn't at home. But
it wasn't at home, though. He did it.
Congratulations, Steph.
Congratulations to Steph Curry. And I want to look into the camera right now. Let me get close and say that you have a certified life coach right here who we are we are positioning and politicking for her to be your life coach. So you can reach out to us at how did I forget the email address?
I don't know.
Feel the number two, the real podcast at gmail.com so that you can get in touch with her and we can make sure that we get her out there to you to be your personal life coach.
I'm ready. Let's go.
I know you've seen the hashtags. As a matter of fact, I'm about to start adding you. But congratulations, sir.
Yes, congratulations. and I feel it's humble. This is just speaks volumes to his spirit.
Yeah.
And the person that he is, that he would, it wasn't even probably feeling comfortable to make to talk the trash, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then so for you to humbly come back and be like, that was wrong.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
That wasn't good. That just speaks volumes to the person that he is. Like you always saying, I can't stand the Warriors, but I can't not like Steph.
It's hard to dislike all of them though. Maybe Clay. Maybe a little easier to dislike Clay, but even Draymond. Like when you see Draymond and I'm saying that because Clay isn't as like he isn't as on the scene or he doesn't talk as much.
Yeah, I was gonna say so he's just quiet. That doesn't make him bad.
You can make up in your mind like he's probably a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like but with Steph and Draymond, when you see him like them and having conversations and stuff like that, it's like kind of hard to dislike these guys.
Yeah. And I love Kevin Durant's game, but like I can find a reason to not like him than I can find a reason not to like Steph. Steph is the one that's complete for me because I like his game and his person. I like Kevin Durant's game and I like LeBron's person. So you get what I'm saying? Like these are the top three in my head that are playing in the league right now. Steph is the complete package out of the three to me.
Yeah. Well, you know my goat is.
Well, of course, I know how you feel about your goat, but I'm just saying this for me.
Kevin Durant is from the crib. Okay. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that I can't stand for him is those ashy ankles. I'm not going to do that with him. I'm going to send him a bottle of Palmer's, either the cocoa butter lotion or the coconut oil lotion.
Is it a full moon out? What's happening with us today? I'm sending him a bottle.
I'm going to send him a bottle of lotion.
You just gave him a whole
ring. I did. Listen.
If it can fix ashy ankles.
If y'all give me a lifetime supply of this coconut oil lotion and the coconut butter lotion, y'all ain't even got to pay me. When I tell you this stuff does wonders, wonders. There you go, Palmer. There goes your free promotion. Now, somebody reach out to me so I can get some lotion. Thank you, guys.
Thank y'all. Please help my brother. Get him the lotion. Coconut lotion. Right now.
Hey. Send KD his first.
There's so many things I want to say, but I'm going to leave that alone. Because I want to ask, does it work on your hair too? Anyway.
Next topic. So, we've had this conversation honestly for a few years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we both, as much as I wanted to see it, we both kind of thought like this would be a slow train, nothing that would like start to happen immediately, you know. Right. And even like some of the things that we've seen, we wouldn't see it on such a large scale, right? But the first domino to drop was Makur Maker, who decided to take his talents to DC.
Yep.
And he was the top five recruit in basketball, signed with Howard University.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no disrespect to Mr. Maker, what Deion did with Travis Hunter, the number one player in the entire country, is unreal. Now, maybe with NIL and now players being able to be paid
a little more level, yeah.
This kind of levels the playing field a little bit.
Absolutely.
But to flip the number one person in the country to not only go to an FCS school, and this is the first time the number one player in the country, since they've been ranking them like this, this is the first time the number one player in the country has gone to an FCS school, and he goes to an HBCU. Now, I saw a little bit, and just a little bit, of chatter about, you know, well, this helps Jackson State, and this helps Deion Sanders, but, you know, what about the other HBCUs? Listen.
Oh, it started a firestorm.
Yes. This is a win for all HBCUs.
Absolutely.
And we saw this on signing day where Howard University, now, obviously I'm partial. I'm an alum. Howard University signed 6 3-star recruits. Some of these recruits had scholarships to Power 5 conference schools, and they were able to flip them and bring them to Howard University. Now, the ranking goes up to 5-star.
Yeah.
So you got 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. So a 3-star recruit is a recruit that fills out the roster for some of these Power 5 conferences. So for them to go to HBCUs, we are starting to see this tide turn a lot quicker than I think either of us expected.
I'm okay with that. Suddenly. Yeah. Yes, God.
Suddenly.
Yes, God.
Bamboo season.
Yes, it is. Bamboo season for HBCUs. Right. Let's go.
Shout out to Pastor Mike Todd. Bamboo season.
Yes. Yes, bamboo season. Let's go. Now, y'all don't be bamboozled by that blessing. Don't
please,
be bamboozled.
Please.
Take care of what God is blessing you with. Come on,
yes,
now.
Lord.
So, yeah, preach. But no, I didn't go to an HBCU, but I have an affinity
right.
for HBCUs. And so I swell with pride.
Yeah.
Watching these young men and women, because I feel like this is just going to be a domino effect for sports, period.
Mm-hmm.
Making the decision to choose.
Yeah.
Because it has been historically the settle.
Yeah.
Type mentality. I'll settle and go to
right.
for a lot of these athletes, right? But making the actual choice from the beginning to say, no, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, in my heart of hearts, we know, yeah, Deion probably came in and made the facilities a lot nicer at Jackson State. We've had conversations about what Howard's facilities look like already. These young men who've made these decisions to attend these schools are not doing it based on the quote unquote benefit, the right. stuff that like when I Am Athlete talked about this and Channing Crowder was saying, oh, no way these kids are gonna choose to go to, you know, an HBCU over one of these, you know, Power 5 schools because of the facilities and what they offer them and the opportunities. These kids are making conscious decisions because it's beyond football. And that is the part that I feel like makes me swell in this. They are making these decisions. This is not about the fact that now I get to go be on TV. This is not, I get these fresh new, all these perks that come with going to a PWI. I need to be nurtured as a man or as a human being. Mm-hmm. And this is the place where I will receive that nurturing.
Right.
And now I can be found anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I don't have the fear anymore. Between the NIL and just social media in general, they can be found anywhere. Mm-hmm.
They come get you anywhere.
Podunk University can have somebody that plays in the NFL now. So it is not that's not what it is. And so I love that they're making a conscious and intentional, this is, as a life coach, this is my thing to people, make conscious and intentional decisions. What is good for you at a whole? Like, don't let something put you in a box. And I love it. They are stepping outside of what the box is. And the people that are in the box are pissed.
Oh my gosh. Did you hear the guy who was screaming on, I don't know if it was Twitter or if it were, if it was Clubhouse, but he was a Florida State fan, I believe, or former coach. And he was just ranting and raving on Clubhouse about this. I just think a lot of people upset. And now, you know, shout out to Charlamagne for saying this. We got to protect Deion at all costs.
For sure. Because they coming for him.
Yeah. So you hear something wild.
They about to try to find out.
Yeah. Right. If you hear something wild about Deion.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah.
No, because they going to make up some stuff. They got to at this point. How do they get? See, now their powers, the power structure has been compromised. So now they got to figure out, how do we regain our power structure? And the, and we already see, just in what the story we talked about before Steph, they'll do whatever they need to do.
Right.
They'll be however they need to be. They'll be cutthroat, ugly. The same people that's smiling in your face will cut your throat if they have to, to get what they want. So we are, Lord, we call in a hedge of protection. The good thing is, we know Deion's a man of faith. Yeah. And he loves, so he's not going to be moved by whatever is said. And that's a good thing. But we just, Lord God, as the people who see what he's doing, come alongside him to just say, be a hedge of protection around him, because let no weapon formed against him prosper.
Amen. You know, if you remember a little bit of his Hall of Fame speech, like, I feel like this is just, you know, an extension of that. It's a manifestation of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he talked about provoking change in that speech. And like, to do something like this, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have to do this.
Well, first of all, he didn't have to go to Jackson State. We can start there.
Right. Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Deion Sanders.
Well,
he could have waited. Florida State would have been happy to have him come.
No, but that's the thing. He wanted to go to Florida State initially because it was his alma mater. So apparently Florida State was like, and that's what the guy was ranting about in the, I think it was Twitter, because Twitter kind of took kind of the functionality of Clubhouse, which made Clubhouse obsolete. The guy was ranting about the fact that when they hired Mike Norvell a couple of years ago, Deion wanted that job initially.
I remember
that. And then he made the decision to go to Jackson State after they told him that he didn't have enough experience as a coach.
Well,
we'll see now.
Right. I bet y'all wish y'all could call him now. Yeah. They probably tried, and he's not taking their calls at this point. I'm good where I'm at. Thanks.
We're good over here.
We're good. We're good. This is the work God, see, that's the thing that I love about it, and why I say I love he's a man of faith, because now he understands, I'm sure, that this was that door was closed on purpose for this door to be open, because he is the conduit to make the change. And he had to be that. It had to be Deion. Had to be somebody that's practically untouchable by them to be the one to push this envelope, right? It had to be. And so, thank you, Deion, for braving and being that pioneer and making such a huge decision that's changed the lives of so many people at this point. And so we just, I love it. I love to see it. It's going to be some more. We just going to keep hearing these stories of these guys. I know I read something, I've forgotten who it was. Like, a couple of kids are in the transfer portal to go to HBCUs from Power Five schools too.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, so Travis Hunter was just the biggest because he was the number one recruit.
Number one, right.
Well, Jackson State also has transfers from University of Miami, Texas A&M,
yeah,
Florida State.
Yeah.
And I know it's a couple of other schools. I want to say Missouri and
mm-hmm.
a couple of other schools, but Power Five conference schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't believe that it'll be many more years to where they won't be able to either compete with some of these, maybe not Power Five right away, but compete mm-hmm. with some of these FBS schools or make the leap to FBS themselves.
Yeah.
And that right there too would be a win for
absolutely
for Black colleges. FAMU may try to make that leap when I was in school
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't successful. Shout out to FAMU for even daring to do something like that.
Right.
But,
no, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And I hope that what happens is some of these kids who, what I don't want to happen though, is some of these kids who aren't these ranked kids, aren't mm-hmm. power, you know, aren't star, five-star, three-star, four-star, three-star kids right. don't get pushed out to the point that they don't have anywhere to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I don't want to happen. So I'm hoping that there's opportunity to balance this thing. Like you, because you just mentioned probably about, that makes what, for Dion, maybe about 8 or 9
mm-hmm.
Kids that are coming, you got your five-star plus these other kids that are transferring in.
Right.
Like, I don't want that to take away from the kids who, you know, because again, there are some kids that this is their only.
Right. So I don't think that it will. I think that it just improves the ecosystem in Black college because those kids now, they may not be getting recruited by Jackson State and they may not be going to Jackson State, but they may still be getting recruited by Alabama State.
Yeah.
Or they may Alcorn still be getting recruited by Alcorn yeah. or FAMU mm-hmm. or Bethune. And so like it really, I think it just improves the ecosystem. And some of those kids.
I hope so.
Huh?
I said I hope so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I think it just improves the pool. And some of these kids may, you know, if it's their dream and their goal to get the opportunity to play at a bigger school, that may yeah. open up the door for them to play at one of those big schools or whatever. So
true. This is true. They got to fill their spots. They're missing some mm-hmm, kind of
way. They're missing some. Yeah. yeah. so those spots got to be filled.
Yeah. That might level the playing field for real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, kudos, first of all, to Travis Hunter.
Yes.
For being a brave soul
mm-hmm.
and thinking beyond just football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this yeah. this decision has to be beyond just football.
Bigger than football.
And so being willing to be a vessel to be used by God to start something that could totally change the landscape of college mm-hmm. football and opening the door for so many other people. So thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Good luck, sir, by the way. Good
luck, definitely.
Good luck. Good luck. Yeah. Okay.
All right, real roll call.
Yeah.
So, oh, let me set my clock. Let's see. I'll do a minute 15 because we rolled a little too fast last time. All right.
Oh, when I put Westbrook, that's supposed to be Russell Wilson, Jesus. I see Westbrook. It's supposed to be Russell Wilson.
Huh?
That's supposed to be Russell Wilson.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it works both ways because there have been some internal conversations about.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about both of them.
Yeah, let's jump into both of them. So we'll start with Russell Wilson.
Okay.
So Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, on the trading block. Good move or no?
No. For him, yes. For them, no.
I disagree.
Okay.
It's a good move for them because I think that because they're paying him so much money,
mm-hmm.
They're not able to put enough talent around him. So okay. you're wasting you're wasting his years, and you aren't able to put a good product out on the field. And we've seen the slow decline of them over the years.
Yes.
Since they won the Super Bowl. And so he got his money after they won the Super Bowl. And this is the product of that. When you give quarterbacks so much money, they're not able to be as competitive.
Could he do like Tom Brady though?
Could he take less? He could. Mm-hmm. But I think the NFLPA would probably take issue, just like they probably took issue with Tom Brady, but they would probably take issue with him taking less money.
Okay. All right.
Oh man, we done made it through that. What time is there?
Okay, I didn't know how much time we had left, so I didn't know. We got to figure out how we can put the time on the screen.
Right? Yeah. You know what? We may be able to do that. I may have to do it in production.
Okay.
Or in editing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now.
No.
Russell Westbrook.
Uh huh.
On the trading block. Good move or no?
I think he's finally finding his groove.
Mm-hmm.
Within the Lakers, so I don't know. This isn't a good time, I feel like, to make a move again. They've been doing too much moving around and switching and changing and bringing in and bringing out and taking in and bringing back. I just chill out for a minute.
Yeah,
see what you can give your team time to mesh in. And I feel like they're finally finding that groove and that rhythm. That game against the Mavericks the other night definitely showed me where he's finding his space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get rid of him. He costs way too much money, and he's turning the ball over way too much. Now, I do agree he's starting to find his footing, but this isn't a championship team. And if you can get him, if you can sell him for parts.
Father. Woo, Jesus. Pull apart. Here we go.
If you can get a couple more pieces for him. And to be honest, nobody's going to take that contract. So
no,
you're probably stuck with him. But if you can, get from under that contract, because he's going to be owed $48 million next year, I believe.
Okay.
All right. So, Josh Bellamy.
Yeah.
3-year, 1-month sentence for COVID relief fund fraud. Do you think he was being used as a scapegoat?
He's the example, absolutely. The
example, I'm sorry, I said scapegoat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're somebody that's more public. People are doing this, and we talked about this in our production meeting, that people are going to jail left and right because they thought this was just going to be free for all, and you could just do what you wanted to do, and the government's like, ha-ha. So now a lot of people are facing the consequences of this, but he is a public figure. And I think that was the reason why he got the sentence he received.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about some of the other guys. Like I know that there was a player for the Jets last year who had gotten caught too because of, you know, taking PPP money from an LLC that he just kind of created out of thin air that wasn't even doing anything. I don't know how much time he got. I do know he got fined.
Yeah, and that's what most people are getting, I believe. Yeah.
So
they got a restitution and then they're fined. Yep.
Right. So to your point, he's an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that they've seen it so much that they were like, all right, listen, let's show you guys what happens when you play with us like this and you take the government's money. Actually, it's not even the government's money, it's the people's money, but still.
Yep.
All right. Now this one right here could have been a feel-good final thought.
Absolutely.
And I didn't even want to wait and put it for a favorable final thought for another week.
Yeah.
I felt like we should talk about this now because we actually reported on this, a few months back.
But it was our feel-good final thought, I believe.
Right, when he made the decision to go. So,
yes.
J.R. Smith was on Twitter celebrating, or IG, I can't remember which one, celebrating his first semester in undergrad, receiving a 4.0 in his classes.
Yep. And this is as a college student athlete. Because remember, he's on
the golf team. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those stories like, you know, I think that people have this perception of who J.R. Smith is. yeah. based on his NBA career and, you know, some things that happened
throughout his career. Just the stereotype. Yeah. He had it up. He got a little spice to him. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's some things that I've seen over the years, like whether it be that interview that he had with his wife and, mm-hmm. you know, they had that interview together and or just some clips of him and him, you know, speaking and, you know, you hear like you hear that whatever you believe him to be, just based off of looking at him, you hear that he is something much bigger. And so this story was awesome just to see, you know, I hope he keeps it up. I hope he he finishes school because, you know, he was drafted into the NBA out of high school.
Correct.
I hope he's able to keep this up.
He will. He was so excited about this.
Yeah.
He was so proud of himself.
Yeah.
So, no, he will.
All right. I think this is our last one. No, we got two more.
No, we got two.
All right. So, Antonio Brown.
Jesus, Lord, help us, Father. Give him some strength. Anyway.
So, for those of you who don't know, Antonio Brown was outed about having a fake vaccination card because he didn't really get vaccinated. He just wanted the NFL to believe he did, so he didn't have to operate within the rules or the COVID protocol. So, should AB get another shot? Bruce Arians, who is his head coach, says he's not sure. What do you think?
I think the man needs help. I don't think he needs to be playing football. Mm-hmm. And I've said this over and over and over again. I've not changed my story.
Mm-hmm. and my stance on this.
And I have not changed my stance on this. I feel like he needs help. And it's some stuff that needs to be diagnosed and dealt with. And until mm-hmm. that happens, I think he's an amazing football player. He brings mm-hmm. great talent. He's an exciting football player, but that does not matter if your mind is not right.
The unfortunate part about this is that it's kind of perpetuating the idea that if you are a great football player and you are a great talent, that some of your, what's the word I want to use? Like some of your, I feel like saying sins to judge you, some of your
transgressions,
that's it, get overlooked and forgiven, you know, without there being an address of the underlying issue. And so AB is merely a microcosm of society. Last one.
Mm-hmm.
The Celebration Bowl, which for those of you who haven't heard it, the Celebration Bowl is pretty much the Black College Championship. And it's where the winner of the SWAC plays the winner of the MEAC, both Black colleges.
SWAC and the MEAC.
And so just like how Jackson State's games this year broke FCS records, not just Black College records, I mean, you're just right, FCS records for attendance, the Celebration Bowl, which is going to be housed at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which I believe seats somewhere around 85 to 90,000,
yeah,
is completely sold out.
I'm loving it. Loving it for that, not so much Omicron, but loving it.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, but loving it.
Super spreader event.
Ooh, don't say that. No, we buying that up right now.
Yeah, guys, be safe out there. Wear your mask.
Please be safe. Wear your mask, please.
Take your hand sanitizer.
Please
let's keep each other safe, please.
Yes, Lord. So, but this is a mess. But the premise behind this, the whole point of this is that they've sold out a Black College championship game.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Yeah. And I'm super, again, this is showing the shift that is happening. Mm-hmm. People are being much more aware.
Yeah.
And they are standing behind and supporting that which is important to them and us. And I just love it.
Yes.
Love, 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 love.
All right, we back with a mental health moment. I know it's been a couple of weeks we ain't had on to the real or mental health moment, but
yeah,
we got one this week, and it's real men talk. Now, Steph, you saw this.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what this was about.
So this Real Men Talk holiday blues, basically, because we all know that depression in some of us can be seasonal. Literally, because of holidays and, you know, whatever reasons you have, a lot of people experience depression during this time of the year. And so it was a conversation that happened on Thursday, yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was hosted by Bubba Wallace and Jay Barnett.
Yeah.
And I loved it. When I saw it, I was uber excited. I was like, I want to be a man right now because I want to hear what they're saying. Like, I want to hear what they're saying. Uh-huh. I love this, that they would open up a funnel or an opportunity or a panel to have men have these kinds of discussions amongst themselves, and taking out the need to be machismo and just be real and honest about where you are and how you feel and what's going on with you, and being not judged in that space, and letting them know that it's healthy to have this type of conversation. I love it. Jay is someone that I know, and he is, we've had him as one of our Onto the Real spotlights before for his work that he does with youth, but he has kind of started to shift his focus, and he is currently receiving doing his hours to become a licensed therapist. Oh. And he really is being an advocate for especially men of color in this world, in this realm of mental health. And so relationships, those are like his things that he really focuses on. And so putting this together, he's also teamed up with T.O.
Yes.
To do a peer support group. We're both part of the same peer group, which is the we're both support group leaders for the same company, which is Mental Happy.
Yeah.
And so he and T.O. have teamed up to even do some work for athletes in that space, for men in that space, about mental health and being okay with talking about what's going on with you. So I felt like them doing that last night was monumental. It was monumental. And I don't know, because I wasn't in it, wasn't privy, because I have estrogen and not testosterone to be in there to see like how many people showed up and how they were really, you know, vibing. But I'm sure it went well. And I hope that the people who participated got what they needed and are not going to just say, well, I did that, check that off. Like, this is a constant. You need to always be finding that space to work on yourself mentally.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So kudos to Jay and Bubba Wallace for doing this. This was awesome.
I love the fact that like these guys are willing to collab and do stuff like this, and not like, oh, well, I'm gonna just do it, this is my lane. They're actually getting together and making, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Making it available to so many people. So that's dope.
Yeah. Very dope. Yeah, I loved it. So good stuff, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Feel good final thought.
Yeah.
Now, so I've watched racing before, but you know, when it's Black people in racing, I pay a little more attention.
Yes.
So when I saw Lewis Hamilton, I was like, oh, okay.
With his braids. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what's the story about he and his dad? And
kind of what was an eyeball sweat moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was an eyeball sweat moment for me because I think they had their final race of Formula. So he's a Formula One racer. Mm-hmm. And they had their final Formula One race. And so overall for the season, which It's never happened. I don't believe. I'm not. That's not a fact, y'all. Just mm-hmm. what I think is true. It's never happened that someone of color has finished Formula One in the standings at number two. Mm-hmm. And I believe had he won that race, he would have won the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so he was upset. And his dad. So what I saw, what brought this to my attention was the picture of him and his dad, and his dad holding his head and like against his head, and he's mm-hmm. talking to him, and he's telling him, the article talks about how his dad was just saying, I'm proud of you. You did well. Look at what we had to go through to get you here. His dad had to work multiple jobs, put a second mortgage on their home because nobody was going to take a chance on this kid of color to come out here and be a race car driver. And right. so his dad believed in him enough and so much that he put his own money yeah. up to make sure that his kid had every opportunity to be put in this place, in this space, to mm-hmm. do something that's historical and be number two in Formula One racing at right. the end of the standings. And I feel like that was a beautiful, beautiful thing yeah. that his dad did. Kudos to dad for believing yeah. in your son to the point that you would put everything, I mean, all your financial everything and your time on the line
yeah.
to help him to get to this place. And kudos to Lewis Hamilton for getting out there and doing your thing this season, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats to him. Shout out to yeah. dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. It takes dad sometimes, like, to put it all in perspective for you.
Yeah.
Say, man, listen, look where we came from.
Yeah.
I understand that you had a personal goal that you wanted to meet, but look where we came from. And so
yeah.
seeing him put that in perspective, like for him like that, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it is. And we don't get to see these kind of stories about mm-hmm. men of color.
Yeah.
Often. Right. That's not the image that gets portrayed most times about Black men, or just not Black men, men of color. And so to see this happen for him and for his dad to be such a strong force in his life to support him like this, it's just mm-hmm. beautiful. I just thought yeah. it was beautiful. Just definitely. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Yeah, definitely an eyeball sweater. I literally yeah. teared up when I saw the picture.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. When you got, listen, we both know, we've both, unfortunately, both of our dads have, you mm-hmm. know, passed, but we know what it's like to have those kind of dads.
Yeah, yes.
We both know what it's like yeah. to have that kind of dad that'll put it all out there for you. Like, right. yeah, whatever you need, I got you.
And so
it's a beautiful thing to see. So it was touching.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, all right.
Yeah, that one hit me too.
Don't. Stay with me, brother. I know. Uh-huh. I said, stay with me.
I'm here. I was just, you know, seeing the picture, kind of put me back in that mode too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think about, and just the story too, I think about like some of the things that like my dad had to kind of put in perspective for me, because I was thinking kind of one way and he was like, yeah. yo, but look at this.
Look at this, right.
And it wasn't until like, and that's just the wisdom of a father. Like, it wasn't until I had to sit down and think about it from the perspective that he was given, to where I was like, yeah, I truly am blessed for yeah. this, even though
yes.
it didn't work out in the way that I envisioned. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that this one certainly eyeball sweat.
Absolutely, for sure. And I just, and in my head, I just see you. You got three sons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Oh.
So
name reveal.
You know, I wanted to ask, but I didn't.
I know, it's my fault. It's my fault. I was supposed to text you as soon as the baby shower was over. Name reveal. Drew Isaiah Burgess. And so, for those of you who hear Drew and think to yourselves, well, you know,
but it's spelled different.
Yeah, I know the J names are. Think Drew Holiday.
Nope, that's what I figured.
J-R-U-E. Drew Isaiah Burgess, another jib.
Yeah, another jib. Another jib in the house. Uh-huh. Yes. I love that. Drew Isaiah Burgess. Yes. Yeah. Come through. You know, that's outside of Matthew. Isaiah is my favorite book in the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's mine? Is it Galatians?
Yeah.
Well, it's something that Paul wrote.
Of course. Well, dang, yeah. That's half the Bible. More right. than half the Bible right there. Like, that don't narrow it down. Right. But at least we know it's in the New Testament. Okay. But yeah, I love Isaiah is like my second favorite book in the Bible. Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
My little nephew. I have been wanting to ask, like literally for weeks now, I've been wanting to ask what y'all decided to, but I was like, he'll tell me when he wants to.
We were waiting for
it. All up in their business.
Nah, we were waiting for the baby shower.
Baby shower.
To reveal it.
Which I couldn't be in and I missed it. I'm sorry, right okay. I love y'all.
You know, we love you too. We went back and forth for whether we should have like a virtual one or whatever, but we did that. It just ended up being too much.
No, y'all good.
Yeah.
I love it. Yay. I can't wait. I can't wait to see his little face.
Oh, man. Me too. And look, now that you said that too, I got to make sure as soon as he comes out, I got that picture queued up to send to you.
Yes. Know that for sure. Yes. Okay. Let's go and get this done.
Yeah. All right. So we are at the end of another one, episode 140 of the Fields of the Real podcast. If you want to reach out to us, even though I stumbled over
show picks. Minute,
oh, show Please picks. Go. I'm tripping. Okay. Show picks. What you watching?
My little cousin, who was a proud part of the LGBTQ plus community, said, you need to watch this Netflix show. And I said, okay. And it's called Coming Out Colton. Okay. And so Colton, if you don't know, he played in the NFL and he was also a bachelor on The Bachelor. And many people know his story that he had a complete meltdown and I can't think of her name right now, when they broke up, like he was stalking her. He put a tracker on her car. Like it was just really bad. And he went through a really hard time. But what people don't know is after all of that went down and he got, he went to seek help and try to get himself together. He also tried to commit suicide. And it was at that point when he woke up that he said, something has to change and I need to be honest. So he finally, this whole show is basically about him accepting and learning and growing in his truth of coming out as gay. He said he's known it since he was a little boy, but because he played football, and because it was seen as taboo and he was so afraid, he overcompensated for it by doing things like, you know, being a ladies man, and the stuff that he did with the young lady from The Bachelor was his last ditch effort to try to hold on to his secret. He felt like going on The Bachelor was going to be his cure all.
Yeah.
And was going to make him straight finally. He would just find a wife and be married and be miserable, but be married and that'd be okay. And when that didn't work out, it flipped him out. And so he finally just is being unapologetically himself. And I've just told the whole show, but it's not really.
It's so much more,
but it's really, I cried from beginning to end. I'll say that it's 6 episodes. And just watching him struggle through and go through what he had to go through, but also being proud of him for just being unapologetic and finding his way to being unapologetic. He still struggles, but
it's been progress.
Yeah, but it's deep. It was yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Yeah. And I thought for us, because we talk about sports, and so for him, mm-hmm. you know, he had a sit down with some people who played in the NFL who came out after they left. And then he had Michael Sams at the table who came out before.
Right.
Was the first openly. So mm-hmm. it was really just interesting from a sports standpoint to watch that whole dynamic and watch people and one of his teammates from Denver just being there with him the whole time. Like, I got you, dog. Yeah. I don't judge you. I can't think of his name right now, but he, it was really good. So that's it. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah. I'll definitely have to take that one out. Check that one out. I watched the other night the movie Life, and I've always known how funny this movie was. And I think one of the things for me, like seeing, it's been 13, almost 14 years since Bernie Mac passed.
That's just crazy.
And it just does not feel like he's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, he hasn't done, obviously he hadn't done anything since then, but like, you look at that and he's just so funny, like, you know. And I truly love that movie. That's one of that's one of my favorite movies.
Django.
I love that movie so much. And so
listen,
I to see that it was on Netflix, and I didn't realize, I guess, until a couple of weeks ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago, that it was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So it's about to go off, I guess, at the end of the
year. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the fact that I was able to see it, and it'll probably be on something else, but the fact that I was able to see it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It's one of those classics. That is a classic, because you had three or four, probably more than that, if I can think about it, of all the people who were in the movie, you had a plethora of powerhouse comedians
yes.
in one space doing this movie. Right. It was like, Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence have been big enough, but you put Bernie Mac.
Anthony Anderson.
I forgot Anthony Anderson. Yeah. It's a powerhouse of black men comedians that was just, this could have been a Kings of Comedy reunion Steve Harvey had been in it.
Right.
Don't
you try to leave DL Hughley out.
Anyway. That's one of those classics. It'll always be funny. It's just long. You gotta have time to sit down and watch Life, because that's a long movie.
Yeah, it is long. It's
3 hours close, at least.
Nah, it's right at 2 hours.
No.
Yeah.
It felt longer than that.
It's right at 120 minutes.
Is it?
So yeah. But no, it's still a long movie.
Most stuff I watch is about 2 hours, so that's not but I don't know why I thought it was longer. Maybe it's because of the time frame that it spans in the movie, it feels long.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, from the time start out to they get old, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so most movies are, you know what I'm saying, around 1:20 to 1:30, so 2 hours for a movie is still pretty long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not when you're a Marvel fan.
Oh yeah,
I'm a Marvel fan.
All the movies, geez,
all the movies, 2-3 hours long. As a Marvel fan, I don't look at it like that. So yeah,
that's probably why I haven't been able to be a Marvel fan.
Oh, listen, I'm a Marvel fan. I'm gonna watch every one of them I can, because I love love it. So but yeah, that's a good one. Maybe I'll check it out sometime before the 31st.
Right, before it's off.
Yeah. All right. Now so you can do your own intro.
Now, again, to land this plane, we are at the end of another one. And while I forgot what our email address was when we were addressing Steph Curry, shout out to you, Steph Curry. Yeah, rewind this and go back and see what I said. You can reach out to us at our email address, field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Facebook. Now I've gotten real good at making sure everything goes over there. Everything from our IG posts to our YouTube videos. And so you want to reach out to us on Facebook. It's the Field to the Real Podcast. No numbers on that one. It's the Field to the Real Podcast. Twitter and IG. Our Twitter account is @field2therealp1. IG, @field2therealpodcast. And certainly go to our YouTube page, the Field to the Real Podcast. No number on that one either. And subscribe, like, share, comment, all of that. All of that goes towards us continuing to make this podcast as great as we can make it. I know I said it at the beginning, but thank you guys. We love y'all for continuing to listen and to support us.
Yes.
But we are at the end of another one, and we are out of here.
Yes.
Peace.
Peace.
Lord. For those of you who can't see,
Corbin is trying to be in here with us today.
Oh, okay. I see it. So he flickering in and out, and I see now that he's
there we go. Made. You see that head?
What up, Corbin?
Corbin's like, I will not be on, mama.
That's my dog nephew.
That's right.
Love you guys. We out.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.